everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
It would take the death of a loyal and trusted friend, savagely slain by Black Panther loyalists, to wake up this leftist ideologue, whose parents romanticized communism, and even when that failed, their socialistic views remained intact. But how do you justify the killing of millions under this totalitarian regime and others like it? My next guest could not. Hence the journey to defect, report, expose, and then mobilize think and action tanks to turn the tide from what he knew, if left unchecked, would be the eventual demise of America and its people as we know it today, and as our founding fathers of freedom intended it to be, a Christian nation, one nation, and that nation under God. And not the demonically ruled agenda of the left to remove even the mention of his name. Here to share more in his riveting number one New York Times best-selling Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America, is its author, internationally acclaimed writer, speaker, political conservative, and founder of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, School for Political Warfare. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, a high honor indeed, Mr. David Horowitz. Mr. Horowitz, David, if I may, welcome to Testimony.
Well, thank you for that introduction.
Well, it's well-deserved, and it doesn't even touch the tip of the iceberg of all you have accomplished in your life. You have also written a sequel, Before We Begin, to your highly acclaimed Radical Son, which explores your personal journey of life and faith, and now your just-released sequel to that at 80 years young, Mortality and Faith, Reflections on a Journey Through Time, which I look forward to discussing in an upcoming segment. But for this segment, Mr. Horowitz, allow me to begin with the following endorsements. One, former Governor Mike Huckabee, and I quote, "One of the most intellectually compelling and rational defenses of Christianity's role in America," end quote, from Alan Dershowitz, and I quote in part, "exposes the intolerance of many atheists toward those who believe in God," end quote. And finally, from Fox's own Tucker Carlson, and I quote, "read this disturbing but vital book." Mr. Horowitz, what is the dark agenda, the who, how, and why?
Well, the subtitle of the book, The War Against, or The War to Destroy Christian America, of course we're a secular republic, America, but the reason for that is that the country was created by Christians, by Protestant Christians. 98% of the settlers and the people who created this country were Protestants. And the whole idea of the Protestant Reformation is summed up in one of its central concepts, the priesthood of all believers. Before the Reformation, to get into heaven, you had to go through the Catholic Church and its priesthood. But the Reformers were actually in rebellion against the Catholic Church, because any church is, after all, a human institution, and therefore it's subject to the corruptions of human beings. And by the Renaissance, the Catholic Church was deeply corrupt. As anybody who's, you can just watch the Borgias on Netflix to see how bad it was. But this idea of the priesthood of all believers is very radical. It's where we get the idea of equality of all people. It's the idea is that each creature or human creature of God confronts his or her maker one-on-one without the intermediary of a priest or a church. And that is a radical idea that all people are equal in the eyes of God and therefore need to be treated equally by government. And that included, for example, black slaves. And that's why America is really the leader in the world of the anti-slavery movement. We're being attacked. Every time they attack Christians, they're really attacking America, because America is built on Christian ideas, and Protestant Christian ideas at that. It's equality, guarantee by God of everyone's right, the inalienable right to liberty. These were very radical ideas when they were written into our Constitution by Thomas Jefferson. And we hear a lot of malignant attacks on the American founding, as though slavery were our original sin. No, actually, it's quite the reverse. For 3,000 years, nobody had challenged slavery from a moral point of view. It was an accepted institution, certainly, you know, by the Muslim faith, certainly by the Africans. Every slave who was shipped to the New World was bought at an auction and bought from black slave owners. So the slaves were really enslaved by other blacks. And when they came to these shores, when America overthrew the British Empire, or got themselves free and independent of the British Empire, slavery began to disappear in America immediately. The northern free states were free of slavery pretty much by 1808, when the slave trade was outlawed. The reason that they couldn't just free the slaves in the South is because the British had created a plantation economy where the whole economy was based on the slave system. And they knew that if they declared war on the South would join with the British, still the most powerful empire in the world, and the northern states would be crushed. And, you know, we might have slavery today for all we know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to David Horowitz, author of his latest must-read, Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. You cover many of the critical and landmark decisions that forever changed the landscape of our nation. One, the removal of prayer from schools. Two, the right to murder one's own child, Roe v. Wade. 61 million babies aborted to date since 1973. The list goes on. Question, what one landmark decision, in your view, was the domino effect that began the inward crumble of America as we know it today?
Well, I think it can start with the prayer in the schools in 62. I mean, for 170 years, prayer in the schools was practiced every day and was constitutional. And they just wiped it out with no constitutional basis whatsoever. It was a non-denominational prayer that was the issue, which basically said, God Almighty, thank you for protecting me, my parents, and my country. Amen. But what they did was, the left, of course, is looking for leverage to dominate society, even though they're a minority. They can't get elected. They can't win an election, or couldn't at the time, talking about the revolutionary left. But they could, through using ACLU and Planned Parenthood lawyers, get six justices, which is what happened in this case, to radically transform America. And President Kennedy at the time said, okay, we'll pray at home. But that's to surrender the public square to the left. And if you're wondering about this, think of what the Supreme Court is. It's nine lawyers appointed for life by politicians. Now, how could that go wrong? The major travesty was Roe v. Wade, which was a complete invention of these lawyers based on the right to privacy, which doesn't exist in the Constitution. And what it did was it changed the fundamental law of the land and the attitude towards life and death overnight and in every district in America, never got to be debated in legislatures, never got to go through the democratic process. And what this affected was a divide so deep that we're now two nations that can barely talk in the same language. That's what created the religious right. Evangelicals have been very skeptical of politics before Roe v. Wade. But in the wake of Roe v. Wade, they formed national organizations which elected Ronald Reagan and then Donald Trump.
And speaking of our President Donald J. Trump, you talk about the 2016 election, and now we have 2020 on the horizon. Your views?
Well, you know, it's up to the American people. The founders, being Christians, were, on the one hand, they made the people sovereign on that revolutionary idea. On the other, they were very skeptical of the people's wisdom. So they put in all these checks and balances to frustrate and prevent radical changes. Who knows what the American public will do? I mean, I think Trump's first election was something of a miracle. You know, but he's done a lot of good things since then, and they're hysterical witch hunters. It's unbelievable how they throw around words like racism, collusion, the president is a traitor. I mean, it's unbelievable. So I hope the American people have the good sense to see that their country is at risk and to vote for Trump and the Republicans.
Amen and amen. We're going to continue our conversation in our next segment. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed author, writer, speaker, and political conservative David Horowitz, founder of the David Horowitz Freedom Center School for Political Warfare, discussing his latest critical must-read, Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America. You can learn more about David Horowitz's work, ministry, and mission by visiting DavidHorowitzFreedomCenter.org and get his book, Get Informed, and then get going in your area of influence for the cause of Christ and our nation at stake if we don't. Mr. Horowitz, David, sir, what a great honor bringing your voice to testimony for such a time as this. We applaud your courage, perseverance, and tenacity in the face of evil you once called good. You learned the truth, you broke ranks, and are now helping a nation and a people do the same by exposing the lies, ideology, and mantra of the left. Your latest dark agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America, is doing just that, and powerfully so. And who better to write it than one once entrenched and now set free and helping others to do the same? You as a Jew may be more of a Christian than you know. We thank you, God bless you, and happy 80th birthday.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
When my next guest shared his latest number one New York Times best-selling, Dark Agenda, The War to Destroy Christian America, we barely touched the surface of what I would call a masterful summation of the origins and infiltration of the, quote, left unchecked and now, quote, unhinged, and what we, as Americans, can do about it, and what his organization has sought to do for the past 30-plus years And brilliantly so. But what about the spiritual, private, and personal side of this Jewish-American political icon? Here to share this and more in his just released Mortality and Faith, Reflections on a Journey Through Time, is international best-selling author, writer, speaker, and founder of the David Horowitz Freedom Center School for Political Warfare, a wonderful honor indeed, Mr. David Horowitz. Mr. Horowitz, David, welcome back to Testimony.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you back here, sir. You have written a sequel to your highly acclaimed memoir, Radical Son, which explores your personal journey of life and faith, which we are here to talk about today. And I have to say, in reading your memoir, your transparency, your humor at times, dark at others, but in the end, your personal beliefs that cause all of us, Mr. Horowitz, to pause and reflect on our own. So first question, why did you write Mortality and Faith, and how would you describe the meaning of both?
Well, I guess, you know, it came pretty sort of naturally. It came around the time that the World Trade Center was attacked, and I think the whole country felt vulnerable in a way that it hasn't felt before. And I also was diagnosed with a prostate cancer at that time. So I, thinking about mortality came pretty naturally. And I also thought I had reached an age. I was 62 at the time. Well, you have to start thinking about end things. As a writer, I've always been observant of my life, both from the outside and inside. And I thought I had learned things. You always learn things through mistakes. There's a Shaggy Dog story about a very rich person who wants to find out what the source of wisdom is. And he goes to the old lady in the mountain, and of course this takes place over 30 years. He goes and gets an answer and then comes away and has to go back. And make it really brief, he's told that the source of wisdom is good judgment. And then he goes back, and then he has to get more money and go up on this mountain. And then he says, what's the source of good judgment? And the wise old lady says, experience. And then he goes again and says, what is the source of experience? And she says, bad judgment. So anyway, that's where I was around 2001, and I just began writing the book. And of course it begins with this conversation with my father, where my father was a little bit strange, and out of the blue he told me, I had to have been like 10 or 11 years old, and he said to me that we begin to die the day we are born. Why you would tell a very young person that, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, after I had lived a while, and after he was gone, unfortunately, so I couldn't resume the conversation with him, I realized that maybe he was telling me to prepare for the end. I think I have a quote in one of the sections of the book from Ecclesiastes that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of festivities, mm-hmm. because that's a reality. Anyway, we're cast into this life without a guide, as it were, or without an explanation of why we're here and where we're going, one that compels us. And the end is opaque. We don't know what's on the other side of death or if there is another side. You can have a faith about it, but you can't know. And this presents people with a huge existential problem. Most of us, it creates, we have a need to feel that our lives, the sweat and tears we put into them, have some kind of meaning, that they're not just meaningless, and that, you know, it's like the Kansas song, Dust in the Wind. And out of that come, you know, I call two types of faith. There is a serious and what I call authentic religious faith, which is summed up quite beautifully in the New Testament, that we see now through a glass darkly and only then face to face. It's a faith that there is an afterlife and that everything will be made clear in the afterlife. I mean, there are things we can't explain, like not only the death, but the torture of innocent young children. A writer that I deal with in this book, because of his wisdom, particularly on the issue of the Christian faith, is Dostoevsky. And Dostoevsky has a character, Ivan Karamazov, who represents him and who says that we have three-dimensional minds, but we live in a four-dimensional universe. So life is a mystery. If you're touched by faith, I'm envious of Mozart. I quote a letter from Mozart when he was 31. He didn't know it, but he had only 4 years to live. And he says that death is the purpose of life. And he gets up every day thankful that he's still alive. And that is, of course, it's a great comfort to him. And, of course, he thanks his creator, and he's a Christian, so his savior. And I write in the book that I wish I had such a faith. I'm an agnostic. I just live inside the mystery. It would be a great solace and comfort and more to have such a faith.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to David Horowitz, his latest memoir, Mortality and Faith, Reflections on a Journey Through Time. David Horowitz, why do you think atheism and Marxism appeal to the radical, and why does it fail to overthrow God and Christianity?
Well, I've written a lot about this in other books, but a lot in this book. Radicalism, Marxism, atheism, they're crypto-religions. You can't know that God doesn't exist, which is what atheists claim. It's not something that can be worked out intellectually. I mean, you know, science is incredibly powerful, yet scientists still don't know how the universe began. And they haven't a clue as to how you get life out of minerals, which is the way the Earth was formed. And they just don't know how there's life. So it's an arrogant claim that God doesn't exist. And you can say, I believe God doesn't exist, but you can't know it. And I consider not atheism as such, but these radical faiths to get meaning and make my life meaningful. A radical believes that he's godlike and can participate in the creation of a new world, can change the world, can create, sometimes it's called communism, sometimes socialism. Now the favorite term is social justice, but they're all the same thing and they lead the same destructive end. And why do I know that they're going to lead to a destructive end? Because the root cause of all social problems is us, it's individuals. And this is a perception, certainly of the Christian and Jewish faith. It's all there in the first chapters of Genesis. Adam and Eve, they had a paradise. It was better than the Green New Deal. You didn't die. You didn't have pain in childbirth. The fruit fell from the trees. But there was one condition. If you wanted to stay in paradise, you had to observe one injunction. The Lord said, forbade you from eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And that's because to know evil, you have to do evil.
Mr. Horowitz, you recently celebrated your 80th birthday, January 10th, 2019. What do you want your legacy and impact to be as a Jew, a supporter of Israel, a supporter of our Christian heritage on which this nation was founded, as a man who has courageously journeyed in this life to achieve great status in the eyes of those whose causes he supports, with the founding of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and finally, for the left that you left, in reaching out to them in reason, in sanity, and solution, what say you to all, if you can, in our remaining moments?
Well, I've devoted myself and feel best about the fact that I made it a life study to
examine the left, the false religion, the destructive one that killed 100 million people in the 20th century, and expose it and be a warrior against it because of its evil. You can see what it's done to the Democratic Party. It's turned it into a racist party that demonizes people. Anybody who disagrees with them is demonized as a racist. It would spell the end of our country if this mentality were to dominate. So I feel that I've spent this part of my life well. I'm proud of this book in particular, and Radical Son. This one is very lyrical, and I think if people read it, they will learn things about life that will be very useful to them, and they'll get pleasure out of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to internationally acclaimed author, writer, speaker, and political conservative David Horowitz, founder of the David Horowitz Freedom Center School for Political Warfare, discussing his latest reflective read, Mortality and Faith. You can learn more about David Horowitz's work, ministry, and mission by visiting davidhorowitzfreedomcenter.org. You will be blessed and informed that you did. David, thank you for taking precious time to share your heart, your life, your hope, and what all of this means to you personally in your updated memoir, Mortality and Faith, which speaks to the life of a man whose journey has been more colorful than most, blessed with miracles, cast with courage, and fought with fearless humility gained through disappointments and tragedy, and yes, triumph too. I'm reminded of the scripture, and I quote in part, "It's the glory of a king to seek out a matter," Proverbs 25:2, and by all accounts, you have done just that. You are a seeker of truth, of justice, and in a very real way, Mr. Horowitz, you are already fulfilling another gospel nugget of wisdom I would love to quote, which is Micah 6:8. "So what does the Lord require of thee? To act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God." David Horowitz, I am praying with you that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will make himself known to you personally and all listening as only he can and will.
Thank you for those words, and those are very wise words of Micah.
Amen. It's been an honor.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, jensinebard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.